Amen. That's a great way to start off, Karen. Thank you for playing for us. It's great to see everybody here today. We've had a great day in the house of the Lord already today, and excited to see what the Lord has for us during this service as well. And so we just praise the Lord and so grateful. We had a little birthday party for Miss Amy Fancher. She'll be 26 years old tomorrow, and so the choir celebrated that with her. So, yeah. And it's only 366 days till your next one, is that right? Well, actually tomorrow, and then. So anyway, we're excited to be able to do that. Well, let's pray, and we'll keep going forward. Heavenly Father, Lord, we bless your name. Thank you for your presence in our lives and for being in our midst today as we praise you, as we worship you. Thank you, Lord, for the devotional that was shared with me this morning, that we receive blessings from you. And we share them with one another, and then we return those blessings back to you in the form of worship. And that's what we want to do as a church today, to worship you and let our hearts be filled with you, and your glory would shine through us, Lord, and in us as we worship. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Transcends the earth.
This time, Brother Kevin Hawk, one of our deacons and leaders in the church, is coming to share with us Building by Faith.
Good morning. As we've been going through the Building by Faith, Purpose, Vision, Generosity, the daily devotionals, day 15 really was something that we focused on as a family. I want to just share that verse with you this morning, then we'll pray. That's Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we have not seen. Pray with me, please. Lord, give us a heavenly vision. Reveal how we can further your kingdom here on earth. Help us to be obedient to that vision. Just thank you for another opportunity to worship in your house this morning. We pray earnestly for our staff and ministries of First Baptist Church, Gunnersville. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are being persecuted. We pray for their safety and the repentance and the salvation of their persecutors. Give us the faith to trust your will in all things and not our own. Amen.
Thank you, Kevin. Kevin's prayer reminded me of last month. October was Clergy Appreciation Month. And we'd like to, on behalf of the staff, just thank you for the way that you show your appreciation and encouragement and support by sharing prayers and lifting up prayers on our behalf. We appreciate all that so much, and we have received so many blessings and encouragements this month, so thank you for that, and thank you for the way you do it throughout the year, not just one month in the year, but January all the way through December. We are blessed to be a part of the staff at First Baptist Church in Gunnersville, and Brother Warren, if you didn't attend both services today, go back and watch. He gave his testimony during the early worship and during the message, and just was shared so many thanks to the ministries and the life of First Baptist. And so a great message this morning. Brother Paul's got a message for us as well, but we're also thankful we've got a great pastor. He is away with some of his friends on their yearly trip into the mountains and going to see a Samford University football game. And they do that one weekend out of every year. And so we're glad that he can do that. And we look forward to him being back with us as well. But today, Brother Paul's going to share, looking forward to what God's laid on your heart. At this time, if you're a guest, we would love to welcome you and say thank you for being here today and come back again. And we're going to have a great time of worship and fellowship. So at this time, would you stand and make everybody feel welcome in the house of the Lord today?
Thank you.
scripture song taken from Psalm chapter 89, verse 1. Right now, what we'd like to do is think about God and think about His love. You may be seated. My seminary theology professor, his name is Fisher Humphreys, and Fisher Humphreys wrote a book about what theology means, and it's called Thinking About God. Just simple. It was a small textbook that we read. It read really easily, and he taught extremely easily like that. So I learned a great deal from him. And so that's what we're going to do today, just an easygoing song, Think About His Love. And that's what we want to do all the time, not just on Sundays. So let's worship as we sing.
Think about His love. Think about His goodness. Think about His grace.
Worship, choose one word or a small phrase that tells the congregation about the love of God. The word that comes to my mind is, of course, Jesus. How about you? What comes to your mind?
Grace.
Faith and love. Anybody else?
Guidance.
Guidance.
Patience. Yes.
Patience.
Mercy.
Amen. He is so faithful and so merciful toward us and gracious and patient with us. And I'm thankful for that. Beautiful song that speaks about God's love. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. Psalm 103, 8 through 11. As we sing hymn number 157, The Love of God.
And kingdoms fall, when needs are done.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts, just thanking you for the outpouring of your blessings on each and every one of us, on our church, and on our community. And we just pray now that as we come to this part of the service, when we can return just a small portion of what you've given to each and every one of us, we just pray that you'd use these tithes and offerings to the furtherance of your kingdom. For these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you. Hadn't the music been wonderful today? God has blessed us. Amen. God has blessed us in such a wonderful way with the music that brings us right to the foot of the cross. Thank you, Ken. Thank you for allowing God to use you in such a wonderful way. And choir, Karen, thank you so much. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to Psalm, Book of Psalm. And right in the middle there is Psalm 119. It is the longest chapter in the Bible. So this morning, I wanted to take a few moments and turn to several of the scriptures there to talk about loyal love. If you've been paying attention to the music, Ken has chosen the music to go right along with the message. And so Psalms talks about love. It talks about a lot of what we deal with in our life. David was a man that, as the Bible says, after the Lord's own heart, but he had his struggles. He had his difficulties. And so let's look at God's loyal love. Recently, I have been in Psalms with my morning devotionals. And throughout the scriptures, it sends a resounding hymn of devotion of God's word and a deep meditation of the experience of faith. You know, we can say that we have faith, but until we really experience that faith, I think it's a faith that is untested. Each verse in this poem weaves together a tapestry of longing, of praise, of confession, and also trust. Yet woven throughout this structure is a resounding theme. It is the loyal love of God. The New English Translation takes the Greek or the Hebrew word that is used throughout the Psalms, and it translates it mercies. It is grace, it's favor, it's translated as loyalty, strength, devotion, steadfast love, unfailing love, loving kindness, kindness, compassion, and faithfulness. And as loyal love, a concept that points us to the very heart of God's character. And so today we see how Psalm 119 reveals God's steadfast, covenant-keeping love, and reflect on what this means in our journey of faith in a changing world. Number one, for those of you that take notes, and my wife is a meticulous note taker. She has notes from some of my very first sermons, and I have asked her not to share those because they go all over the place. But for those of you that take note, first of all, there is the nature of God's loyal love. What is the nature of it? In this translation, loyal love appears again and again, echoing the biblical assurance that God's faithfulness endures. While other translations might speak of steadfast love, loving kindness, the phrase loyal love captures something vital. The love that is unwavering, deeply committed, and rooted in covenant. When I was a young person from my childhood growing up, as many of you know, we lived down in East Alabama in Lee County. And so we would go to a nearby town on Saturdays. That was the big trip for those of us who were raised in the country. And so we'd go to Opelika some, and some weeks we'd go to Columbus, Georgia. Columbus was larger, had more stores and so forth. And so Dad would park the car, and my mother and sisters would head off to the dress shops, and Dad and I would go, you know, to the hardware stores, and about once a month, whether we needed it or not, we'd stop into Bentley's store and get a haircut. But we seemed to always end up in this one spot toward noontime or right before we got ready to head home. And on the main street there in Columbus was a little narrow, a little sandwich counter. And they had good food there. And it was a counter that reached like from here to the back door, just a narrow one row of seats up next to a counter. And one of my favorite was the little hamburgers they had. It was like Crystal hamburgers. Now, my wife does not understand why I like Crystal hamburgers, but I grew up eating something very similar. But as you would go in every Saturday and as you'd go out, there was an elderly gentleman that was sitting there, and he had a little tin cup. He would sometimes be playing the harmonica, and you'd go in or you'd go out and you'd drop, I can remember a lot of times, a nickel in there, and it would rattle as it hit that tin cup. And he would always stop playing and say thank you or God bless you or whatever. But loyal love is not like us passing somebody that's sitting on a sidewalk playing a harmonica. Loyal love is not that passing kindness. It is the bedrock of God's dealing with humanity. A love that cannot be broken by time. It cannot be broken by circumstance. It cannot be broken by failure. Consider the psalmist in his plea. Notice verse 41 of Psalm 119. Verse 41 says, "May your loyal love find me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise." Have you ever thought about that? The promises of God are promises that are kept. They are covenants with us. And so the sentiment here is fully carried out. God's mercies and salvation, our hope for forgiveness for the past and the security in a righteous course for the future, it is promised by God. Here the writer knows that hope does not rest upon their own merits, their spiritual achievements, or moral perfection. Instead, this hope is anchored in the loyal love of God. It is God's commitment to keep his promises, and to rescue, to save us, and to bless us regardless of the shifting sands of human frailty. Throughout Psalm 119, the psalmist calls upon this loyal love in moments of joy and distress alike. Flip over to verse 124 of Psalm 119. It says, "Show me your loyal love. Teach me your statutes." This refrain reminds us that God's love is not distant. It is not a concept somewhere far away. It is active, it is near, and it is intimately involved in our lives. This loyal love of God, as we see together with every promise, every command, every hope, is found in Scripture, and it's based on the foundation of God's unchanging loyal love. Number two, loyal love and God's word. The psalmist finds comfort and assurance not only in the concept of God's love, but in the promises God has spoken and kept throughout history. In verses 49 and 50 of Psalm 119, it says, "Remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. This is what comforts me in my trouble, for your promise revives me." Just think, when you're going through times of difficulty, how the promise of God revives our spirit, gives us hope. It gives us strength to withstand. I know that some of you are personally going through times of difficulty and times of trouble, but I want you to know that God's love promises you his commandments, and it is vital to remember that this encourages us. When we face uncertainty, when we face grief, when we face fear, we are invited to return to the word that God has spoken in Scripture, the words that flow and reflect his love. God's love is expressed in his faithfulness to every promise. The psalmist clings to the statutes and the precepts and the testimonies of God, not as burdens, but as sources of life and joy. And as you go through Psalm 119, you will find God's word, God's statutes, his commandments. It is referenced in nearly every verse in this chapter. So it is not a thing that is promised by a distant deity. It is a promise to love. The commandments of God are invitations to walk in his love, to experience the blessing of living in harmony with our heart to his heart. Verse 97 says, "How I love your law. I meditate on it all day long." And there was someone that mentioned to me this morning that as they were growing up, that they were under a works environment. They were working to make God love them. And they came and they visited a Sunday school class, and they heard a Sunday school teacher of old say that there's nothing that you can do, or there's nothing that you cannot do, that will make God love you any less. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, let's remember that God's love is something that he gives to us, not something that we earn. Moreover, God's loyal love is practical. It brings hope to the despair. It brings hope to the suffering and a revival to the weary. The psalmist does not simply theorize about love. He lives it every day. Look at David's life. God's word is in his heart. He walks it. He lives it according to the ways of God. David was not always on the mountaintop. God's servants are not always having some mountaintop experience. But remember that God's love is there for us every day. Each command, each revelation is an expression of God's loyalty, a pledge that God will never forsake those who seek him. In fact, the Bible tells us to seek the Lord while he can be found and call upon him while he is near. Number three, loyal love in times of trouble. You know, the writer of Psalm 119 is not naive about the reality of suffering, persecution, and even hardship. Throughout the chapters, the psalmist faces enemies, he faces temptation, he faces seasons of affliction, yet in every trial, he turns to God for consolation. He's rooted in God's loyal love, because verse 76 of this chapter says, "Let your loyal love console me as you promised your servant." You know, there's something profound about this appeal. Human loyalty will often falter under pressure. Relationships may fracture. Support may vanish. But God's loyal love is unchanging. The scripture says that God is an unchanging God. And so when he says he loves us, that will not change. When all other sources of comfort fail, God, his love remains our refuge and our strength. The psalmist's prayers are anchored in the confidence that God's love is not contingent upon circumstances or feelings. It is proven to us through generations and generations. All throughout Scripture, the reference back to the leading of the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt is referenced over and over again, the parting of the sea and the rivers and all that God did was remembered by generations. And what we must do is remember how God has been faithful to us in our generations and the generations of our parents and grandparents. And so we know that God can be trusted through everything that he promises. So the psalmist repeatedly asked for deliverance, understanding, mercy on the basis of God's loyal love. He knows that God's interventions and acts of faithfulness acts to restore and to heal. In verse 88 of Psalm 119, in your loyal love, give me life so that I can keep the rules that you have revealed. You see, from the heart of the psalmist, he was longing to keep the rules of God. I know sometimes when we're young and we're told we can't do something, we feel like rules are confining. And yet the psalmist is saying, Lord, I love, I am gravitated towards, I am drawn toward your laws and your commandments, because he realizes that they are there for his protection. God has given us boundaries so that we do not hurt ourselves, and he loves us because of that. And ultimately, he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross so that we would have the gift of eternal life. So he gives us a love that sustains, revives, and empowers us to walk in the light of his truth. In moments of distress, confusion, God's loyal love shines brightest. As we walk through the valleys, we can echo the psalmist's prayers for consolation and restoration. Number four, how do we respond to God's loyal love? Responding to his love is to recognize, as Ken was saying earlier, recognize that our devotion to him comes out through worship. It comes out through service. And so it not only reveals the nature of God's loyal love, but it shows us how to respond. As those who have received his steadfast affection, we are called to gratitude, to obedience, and persistent seeking of God's will. How often do we pause and just thank God for his goodness? Oh, just think about those things. Being born here, being raised here, being loved here through God's people. Loving people to Jesus is what we're all about. To share the message in this community and beyond. How do we respond? Well, we are to delight in God's commands. Verse 97 says, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Our prayer in the morning should be, Lord, help me to live today in a way that is pleasing to you and brings glory to your name. So we delight in God's command. We also trust in his promises. Verse 114 says, you are my hiding place and my shield. I find hope in your word. When we're struggling, when we're hurting, when we're desperate, go to God's word. Meditate on it. Like the psalmist, when he was being pursued by his enemies, he was deep in God's word. Not only should we be delighting in God's commandments and preserving in faith, we also to be obedient in the perception of Psalm 119. It is not a means to earn favor. That is one of the main things that we need to learn. Doing what we do today is not to earn favor with God. It is to show him how much we love him because he first loved us. It is a grateful response to his love. We walk in God's ways because he has first walked with us, having us and loving us with a love that will not let go. He will not turn his back on me, on us. The Bible teaches us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So when we stumble, we look for God's loyal love for restoration. When we rejoice, we thank him for his unwavering kindness. He's been good to all of us. He loves us. He cares for us. And so we rejoice in what God has done for us. We find guidance when we are faced with uncertainty, which is the outpouring of his loyal love. As believers, we become a living testimony of what God has done for us. So in a world that you and I live in that is marked by change, disappointment, and fleeting affection, the loyal love of God stands firm. Psalm 119 invites us to build our lives on this foundation. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Psalm 119. We thank you for the authors. We thank you that you gave us your word so that we could be faithful to you. And so, Father, I just pray that you'll bless us as we come to the end of another service, that you might speak to our hearts concerning the needs that we have. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In just a moment, Ken's going to lead us in an invitation hymn. It's hymn number 158, Think About His Love. If you have a need today, would you come and meet me down front and we'll pray about that need. We will ask God to help you as you walk through your situation. And God will bless us as we come before him and we're honest before him as caring for our needs that we have. Would you stand together as we sing?
Think about his love, think about his goodness, think about his grace that's brought us through. His goodness, think about his grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure.